Welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 139 for Tuesday, November 26th of 2019. And on tonight's podcast, we got the boss, Ryan Zeller. Good evening, Ryan.
Hola. Happy Hola. Thanksgiving.
Suddenly went bilingual on this podcast. I like it. Also joining us is Hunter Nix. How you doing, Hunter?
Hola, ¿cómo estás? We're going bilingual.
Muy bien.
Bien.
Muy bien, y tú.
My wife is going to throttle me later as she listens to this back.
Hola mañana o gato. That was what I learned in Spanish. So,
well, given the fact you played at UTEP, I would expect you to have picked up a little bit more Spanish than that.
You know, I only learn like the bad words and stuff, so I can tell you all that stuff.
But you certainly learned something.
Yeah, like, so if you cuss at me in Spanish, we're going to fight, but everything else, I don't remember.
You know all the important things, like un cerveza, por favor.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Got that.
Oh, wait. Jack is trying. He said he needs to sell his house because he gets terrible Wi-Fi.
Oh, he's trying to connect. So, well, yeah. if Jack Hasselbrock can get on later on, that'd be great. But rounding out tonight's panel, we also have Nathan Hernandez. Nathan, how are you doing tonight?
I've had better days.
Yeah.
Aww.
It was a tough weekend football wise.
Yes, it was. In more ways than one.
In way more ways than one.
Yes. And thankfully, we don't have to talk about the Cowboy game tonight. But
let's not.
Hashtag fire Jason Garrett.
Fire Jason. There's your HSO for tonight. All right. Jack, is that you? Did you just buzz in?
That is me. I'm sitting on the roof of my house.
I need a picture of this.
Well, that solves the reception problems.
I knew Ryan would totally understand that.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Well, we appreciate your commitment on being on tonight, so just don't fall off the roof.
I won't.
So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the men's basketball loss against Clemson. We got some recruiting news and some scary transfer portal news. And, of course, we will talk about the Oklahoma game. And looking forward to West Virginia on this short week as we come back home to play against the Mountaineers on Friday after everyone has had their fill of turkey. So to get us started, let's talk a little bit about men's basketball. Jack, were you at the game against Clemson?
No, I watched it on television.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know if you made it up there or not. So men's basketball, unfortunately, loses the game against Clemson. It was a tough game. I don't know. This was one of those games that the fans just kind of imploded on afterwards and brought out some former players on Twitter to call out the fans. And it is just one game, but I think we got to do better shooting from the floor if we're going to have a chance when we start Big 12 play. Jack, what did you think of the game?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. It seemed like in the past years there was a, you know, that person that would kind of step up, one or two of them, successful or not. You know, it was like, give me the ball, I'm going to either win it or lose it.
Right.
And not sure that person has emerged yet, although I think we all suspect it will be or should be Desmond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, and hopefully soon. Because I agree, this team needs it.
Because, I mean, we have George Mason in December along with Xavier, who's very good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's two games there that are probably going to be, you know, toss-up type games.
Yeah, it's a heck of a schedule. And then, of course, you know, playing in the Big 12, the conference schedule is just brutal. But I agree with you. If we don't have somebody step up here soon before we start conference play, it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, and there's a couple of, well, one grad transfer in particular, and then, some guys that have come in that, have had some major roles with, you know, maybe their junior college or even another four-year school. So, it's a very young team. There's still three or four people there that are, you know, seniors and have, played in, you know, major, you know, like George Mason and even the young man that's grad transfer from UTA.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, we have enough experience on this team that they should be playing better. at least in certain aspects of the game, and that's just the thing. I mean, if we were kind of average across the board when it came to every aspect that we were doing, I think we'd be fine. But right now, I mean, when you go back and take a look at just how pitiful the shooting from the floor was, especially in that first half against Clemson, that's bad, and that needs to be fixed pretty quickly. We can't keep going on these really long dry spells in the middle of a game and expect to win many as we go down the stretch. So hopefully they can get their act together, and hopefully we can see a little bit of a turnaround here early on in the season before we start conference play. But Jack, what do you think? Do you think we're going to see one or two guys step up here before we start conference play?
No, I do. I really think so. I mean, you know, there was not several that were lost, but two or three that, you know, you mentioned Alex Robinson. You know, sometimes we didn't want Alex to shoot as much as he did. But no, I'm just talking. Well, I didn't know he was one of the ones. But, you know, just in the last few years, sometimes, you know, it was, okay, Alex, you know, you can dish it off or whatever. But he certainly wanted to be the guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, win or lose, he wasn't afraid to take that role.
Yeah, Alex was one of the guys who did tweet afterwards. Let me see if I can find that. Nathan? Oh, you're muted.
I was going to ask, when's conference play start?
First week of January.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have a little bit of time. Let's see.
While you're looking that up, we play USC at Dickey's Arena next December 6th coming up. That's going to be really fun.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a good
Jack,
game.
Are you going to that game?
I will be at that game.
Me too. It's my birthday, too. So.
Oh, almost happy birthday. So
hopefully they'll win.
So, what, 33 or 34 this year?
Jack, you know better than that. It's 29.
Actually, I'm 43 right now. I'm going to be 44. I forgot. Darn.
Well, you know what's sad about you being 44 is when we first met.
I know. I was a wee one, wasn't I?
Yeah, she was right out of Alito High.
I had a really good accent, didn't I?
Yeah, and your mother told me all of the shenanigans you pulled in high school.
I know. I was a hellion, wasn't I? Gosh.
It was easy to do in Alito, though.
That 10 o'clock curfew, you know.
I think we're going to have to bookmark that for a future memories of Purple Past episode.
Purple Past.
Yeah,
it would be a very boring one if we went on that.
I don't know. That story about you getting lost and Larry Burdine having to find you, that was pretty entertaining.
I was 43.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, almost happy birthday.
Thank you.
Maybe when you're 44, you won't get lost in the woods.
Maybe not.
Well, going back to this this tweet about Alex Robinson, or from Alex Robinson, I don't want to leave everybody hanging who hasn't heard this one yet, but right after the game, his quote was, "Damn, it's one game. Y'all stop killing my boys. Y'all don't go to football or basketball games. Win or lose, so stop complaining. Fake fans, long season. TCU basketball." And then he followed it up with, "All I'm saying is if y'all care that much, show up to the effing games." And he actually said effing. He didn't actually say the actual word there. "That make a difference for our guys, believe it or not. Your opinions might be valued more if you actually support it in person. I don't care how you feel at home. Change the channel." So, certainly was not being,
I don't really – I mean, the game before that was at home that went down to the wire, that one I can see fans getting their, you know, panties in a wad, I guess, so to speak. But against Clemson, what's their record? It's near perfect, right? They're really good. So I think it's kind of like the OU game, which we'll go into a little bit later. I mean, to me, that shows some potential when we can hang – I guess with a team, so I don't really know. And like I said earlier on our text string, I think I agree with him. We do need more fans. That's a no brainer at these games. However, you can be a pretty diehard fan watching from the couch. You don't have to be there in person.
Well, not every Frog fan is in DFW or
exactly
to make it to home games and things like that. That is not possible for a lot of people, especially for
weekdays. Plus, there's so many, like you were saying, Nathan, there's just so many games. You know, you can't, you would just, if you have a family, there's no way you can make all those games. So.
Well, and there's a fan base, too, that's not exactly 44 or under.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Mm-hmm. I put myself in there, but, I mean, I live close enough I can go to all of them. But I know a lot of people that, you know, are late 60s, early 70s, and they like, boy, it's bad out and it's raining. I just didn't feel right, so I just watched it at home.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and he came from A&M, which has, you know, a huge alumni base, where TCU, you know, we've got 8,000 students a year, where A&M is around 50,000. So it's a little bit different from where he came from.
And 6,000 of them are women, not men, probably.
You know, so yeah, it's a little bit different than a little bit different where he's from before TCU, at least.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Well, hopefully, like you said, men's basketball can figure it out here pretty soon. It's going to be an interesting season, see how they things shape up, especially looking forward to that game in the Dickies Arena, so that'll be a good one to go to. Let's move it on. We got a little bit of recruiting news. Hunter?
All right, so Garrett Hayes, you should get to know this name because he's our second biggest recruit ever if we're going you know, by the whole recruiting ranking stuff. He's the 46th player in the nation for 2020. He's the 7th overall player in Texas and the 5th offensive tackle in the country. And so big time get here, and looks like he, you know, looks like he's coming into play. He had us and Arkansas as his last two. A&M was in his top three, and then after Morris left, it was pretty much he was coming here. So he committed today. Big get for TCU.
Hunter, where'd you say he's from?
He is, let me see, Athens, I believe.
Okay.
I believe it's Athens, Texas. Okay. Yeah, Athens, Texas. So he's a big left tackle, 6'5", 290. He's already game ready as of now. He's a big dude, going to play in the All-American Bowl. You know, very big get for TCU in that offensive line. Chris Thompson got a good one here.
Well, that's great. Where does he rank on the Frog Factor?
On the Frog Factor? No, he's way high on Frog Factor. I will say that. This dude, he plays till the end of the whistle and seems to be a real hardworking guy. You know, doesn't do social media at all. So that's why he didn't. Yeah, exactly. So seems like a really good get for us, and really excited for him. And then, you know, with the good recruiting news, we do have to say that going out, Mike Collins has announced his transfer today. So, you know, thought it might happen. Dugan has taken that spot, but Mike Collins is out. So
then there were two.
We used to have an embarrassment of riches. Now we're down to three, I guess, with Downing and Baldwin. But Baldwin's kind of hurt.
Right.
And Downing's, you know, the walk-on from Georgia. So down to three.
That's crazy.
I did see where Collins will be a graduate transfer.
He will. Yes. Collins will be a graduate transfer. He graduated from TCU. And, hey, cannot, you know, I respect everything he's done here. I hope he goes and does well. Just he had a really high recruit come in after him, you know?
Yeah. We wish you the best of luck, Michael, if you're listening.
And he did it classy. I mean, if you saw his message on social media, I mean – he has nothing but love for what we have done for him as both fans and as a school, and of course we love what he's done for us as well, and we all wish him best of luck.
Yep, I hope he tears it up somewhere next year.
I'm sure he will. Sure he will, as long as he doesn't go to Baylor.
Don't go to Baylor. That's,
or Oklahoma to try for a Heisman. I don't know what. Who knows? That's how it works these days, right?
I don't think we'll have to worry
about that, but, you know. So, speaking of Oklahoma, let's talk a little bit about that game on Saturday. Ryan, you made the trek up to Norman.
We were there. Well, I can honestly say the first, you know, we all can say the first quarter and a half, really, I was just like, oh, my God. And then I looked up at the scoreboard, and I was like, oh, feels like it should be so much worse than, I think it was, 10-0 at that point? It felt like it should have been you know, 28-0. But and then it was like night and day after that. So while we didn't win, boy, I could not. There are some of those losses, and I hate when the people say, "Oh, it was a good loss," but there are those losses where you're just, you walk out of there with your head held high. And that was one of those losses. I was so proud of that team. Woke up, sure, it would have been much better to wake up the next morning, had won. It would have been actually pretty damn awesome. But I still, it was, I felt fine the next morning. It gave me a lot of hope. And I feel like we're going to play this next game with a lot of confidence. I hope that those players on the, and, you know, you guys who played football can attest to this. I hope on the drive home that, or drive home, they may have flown home, I don't know, that they weren't too down on themselves, because, gosh, they did good. I was proud of them. What about y'all?
Yeah, I was up there, too. And, oh, by the way, they do bus up there and back.
Okay.
So just, that's from the old budget guy. you know, I felt the same way. I will say I was really disappointed, though, in that the opportunity to win the game was, I think, taken away from us. Mm-hmm. You know, some will say, well, how do you know we would have done it? I don't know, but with Max Duggan and the way they were rolling, it would have gotten interesting. It would have gotten real interesting for Oklahoma. And it just kind of goes, I mean, I know I sometimes wear the purple shades a little too much, but you know, Gary's teams just always battle late. There can be injuries, there can be makeshift lineups, there can be freshmen in there, but they always battle late in the year. And while it didn't surprise me, I was a little bit, you know, my jaw was a little bit dropped in the first quarter, like Ryan said. I was like, gosh, what's going to go right here?
Yeah.
And then it did turn on a dime there.
Well, what was it? Early on in the second quarter, I think, Ryan, you were texting us asking, what was that stat on how long it's been since we've been shut out in a game?
Yeah.
That's how you know when everything is going wrong.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. But, I mean, as much as I would have liked to have seen us get the ball back there at the end, and we'll talk about the third down play shortly, but well, we only had, like, what, 204 offensive yards in that game? That is – I'm sorry. I know Oklahoma statistically is one of the best defenses in the Big 12, but people have been able to move the ball a lot better against Oklahoma than that. And yeah. I think it's just indicative of some of the major underlying issues with this team this season. It's just this offense just cannot seem – to get its act right when the defense keeps giving them every opportunity to do so. And it harkens back to the 2013 year where it was just, we keep beating our heads in, where it's like, we keep losing these one score games. If the offense could just do something, you know, we'd be able to actually win some of these. It's frustrating from a fan's point of view. And I can imagine, Nathan, it's probably pretty frustrating from the player's point of view.
Yeah. Like, because obviously the big talk of the whole game was the end with the bad call on the spot, and then a few penalties here and there. But you just can't start slow against a team that good. You can't start that way. The game shouldn't have come down to a last minute third down stop. I think that if our offense was able to move a little bit more in the first quarter, we could have, you know, slowed the bleeding down a little bit sooner, and we wouldn't have had to have made the comeback quite as much. But yeah,
well, and change field position. I mean, we were it was awful for us, and as a result, it was very positive for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. Hunter, what'd you see?
You know, excuse me, sorry. So, yeah, it was, you know, the offense was discouraging Max did not throw well at all. 7 of 21. Now, I'm not going to say he was helped because we did have a lot of drops. But at the same time, 7 of 21 and at best 15 of 21, if we're talking drops, you know, it's not the best. He ran really well, but the defense gave plenty of chances. They were bend but don't break. You know, as we've seen in other years, two red zone turnovers, one of them to a touchdown. You know, with that, you should win the game. We won the turnover battle, but yeah, offensively, we were just dead. And you can see that because we still lost the game despite having three turnovers to their one. And so, yeah, it was just – you know, the offense has still got to keep getting better. Max is still progressing. The defense did – I mean, that's the first game they've held under 20 – or under 30 all year. So you've got to at least feel better about that. But, you know, the offense has got to improve.
Well, I tell you, the one play that probably sealed the loss in this particular game goes all the way back to the beginning of the second half of the Texas Tech game, where Gladney gets called for targeting and not only misses the rest of that game, which of course was a non-factor in the Tech game, but mm-hmm. missed the entire first half of Oklahoma. When he came in that second half, that was a completely different defense than
and
we
I
saw
will
for
say,
the first half.
The corners did a great job, though, because CeeDee Lamb,
filled in very well.
Yeah, because CeeDee Lamb, who is a premier receiver, I mean, he's going to go first three receivers this year, which is it's a stack receiver class. He's going to go ahead of Rager. And with this stack receiver class, we held him to one or two catches. I don't even remember, but wasn't much. I mean, the guy who has been electric all year, yeah, we held him to two catches for 16 yards. So pretty impressive.
Yeah, he had one touchdown, right?
Yeah, he had one touchdown.
But still, two
catches. You know, the dude has been lighting everyone else up for hundreds of yards a game, and he had 2 for 16 against us.
Yeah,
and
it was
really
a backups for half. On that back shoulder fade, too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And Keon Stewart, who honestly has played awesome this whole year. Mm-hmm.
He really has. So, but when you have both Stewart and Gladney on the field at the same time, I mean, that just decreases your chances as a quarterback tenfold.
Agreed.
I mean, it's crazy how much better this defense is with Gladney and Stewart back there at the same time. And having him gone that first half, now, of course, you know, you could play what if and all that kind of stuff, and you could say, well, Gladney was fresh coming in the second half, and it's kind of one of the things we talked about last week is that, you know, you'd hate to be a Oklahoma receiver knowing that he's coming off the bench completely and totally fresh in that second half,
mm-hmm.
You know, while you've had to battle for an entire half. But still,
I'd prefer to come in like the whole game rather than coming in fresh the second half, because then I'm like, I feel just kind of out of sync the first like few or so plays or whatever. But that's just me. I kind of get into that zone where like my adrenaline kicks in and everything, and I'm like, I don't even need a break.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You're calm there. You're seeing things a little bit. Things are slowing down for you a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And yeah, of course. But that was, you know, the defense did a fantastic job against this team. This is a heck of an offensive team, and they did slow them down for the first time I think we've seen in the last couple of times we've played against OU. I think this is probably one of the better defensive performances.
Definitely.
You know,
I mean,
I was going to say, I even had OU fans texting and sending messages on Facebook that said, you know, we don't like to win that way. Y'all got kind of, you know, screwed over by the call, and then I had fans, of course, that aren't even, their team's not even in the Big 12, but they're still watching the game because it was prime time, of course, texting and sending messages, and it felt good because I think the whole nation saw it was even though we didn't win, it was still positive marketing for TCU, I feel. So
sorry, I'm laughing about the cat in the background.
But there's always a new
there's
one.
So much
Ryan
you guys are missing by not seeing this podcast live, I'm telling you. Sorry, Jack, what were you saying?
There's always a new one with Ryan. You know, just something. It's like I had to redirect her in the parking lot afterwards last week. She was roaming around going, you know, where's Mike? And people didn't, you know who that was. So I'll take care of it.
Oh my gosh. Oh Lordy.
You make Ryan sound like she's an old bag lady.
Jack, come on. We got to keep some of these just between us. We don't need the whole world to know these things.
She only snuck in half a bottle of wine at that game. It shouldn't be that bad.
Then the pier to, I think it's a little bit more than wine. It just, you know, can hardly walk. So
yeah.
FYI, if you walk in 10 minutes after the game starts, you can bring in a water bottle of vodka. Just saying.
Oh,
you can.
Nice.
You can. They don't really check.
Have some experience with
like
that, Hunter, do we?
I've never actually done it, but they don't check my water bottle at all.
So you hear.
So just an FYI for all those who might want to bring alcohol into the game, make it look like it's a full bottle.
May I, as somebody who has worked for a distillery, may I just suggest never putting high alcohol content into a plastic water bottle?
Really? What's it do? What's it do?
It will degrade the water bottle.
Oh my gross.
Oh.
But
we can talk about that at a later
okay,
time.
Right?
Yeah. It's what?
If you drink it fast enough, it's okay, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, if it's in there for a little. It's kind of like a 5-minute rule, but yeah, that should be fine.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. You know, just
so
start
probably not the Ozarka bottles. Those things will, you know.
Yeah.
Those things crumple if you look at them wrong. But anyway, back to the Oklahoma game.
We digress.
Sorry, Nathan. What were you going to say?
No, you're good. I was just going to comment again. It's like one of the, and it was mentioned earlier, Hunter, I think, mentioned it. But just like one of the frustrating parts is just watching so many dropped footballs. And like, I love Rager, but I mean, like, he's got so much hype around him that he can't afford to drop some of those, because then it just, I remember we were watching, and we were, what game was it? It was one of the earlier games in the season. We were at home, and they threw him like 3 or 4 fades. Like,
SMU game?
Yeah, it was probably the SMU game. And I could just hear scouts just like kind of being like, why are they throwing him these balls? Like, doesn't, like, in my head, I'm like, that's not his strength. Like, his strength is like speed. Like, he gets off the line quick and then burns somebody for a post or even a go ball. But like, jump balls just like weren't his strength to me. And so I just felt like it hurt him to like keep throwing those over and over again with scouts like watching. But yeah, with all the hype he has around him, you got to reel in some of those that were dropped. And then across the board as well, like, other receivers are dropping footballs that should be caught. We make the hard catch, but we always drop the easy one, I feel like. The like wide open one for a first down. And then we had the one on the goal line at the end of the game. Tay Mike dropped that one. It was a hard ball to catch. I'll give him, it hit him in the hands, but it was a very, Max put some speed on it. And it, with a ball coming over the line that quickly, they're hard to track. And so that'll come with, I think, Max kind of growing up and learning for like to put touch on the ball sometimes, and when that's appropriate. But just drop footballs just kill me. And I'm one of those people, like, I hate when defenses drop balls too, like when corners and safeties, like, I know they're not receivers, but they still, like, they're ball players. They need to catch football. And that can swing a game so much between a drop pick and third down, going to third down or something.
No doubt.
So that was my frustrating aspect on that game, was drop balls, and all season, honestly.
Yeah. Well, we would have won the Baylor game. Same scenario at the very end of that Baylor game. You know, there were.
We would have won.
We could go back to a lot of games.
I could go to a lot of games while I was at TCU that where we had a drop ball. It was.
Well, and to tack on to that, people will say, well, that wasn't a good pass. But if it's getting, and I'm obviously not a football player, and I definitely don't know how to break down the game or anything like that. But to me, if it's getting anywhere near your hands, that's what makes you a great receiver, is catching those balls that just get there. That's why Johnny Manziel, his receivers made him look so good. I can't remember the guy's name.
Who is tied with Randy Moss for most 1,000-yard seasons at the start of season, or the start of career. So, dude, he had a stacked team.
6'8 body frame.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nobody could cover him. You put three guys on him, he'd still come down with a ball.
He had a freaking 5'10 guy on him, and they're expecting him to stop him. No, a 6'6 guy is going to jump over you every time. So,
But yeah, catching the football is mine.
Yeah, we definitely – it's been a thing all year. It's
like that 2016, 17 season.
Yeah, maybe.
We led the lead in the nation in drop ball passes.
I think that was 2017, it was the
Liberty Bowl year.
Yeah.
So 38 drop.
Pretty rough
so,
there.
You know, at some point in time, you take a look at this offense, and I know we keep – you know, the fans for the most part are hammering Cumbie on this. And rightfully Patterson as being the head coach, that you know the offense has got to get better. You can't have a really good stout defense, and I think this defense is a really good defense that keeps you in the games if you can't move the ball offensively. I mean, you know, losing these one score games when your offense is inept for one half or another is unacceptable, and to have it happen year after year after year. So then the question becomes, you know, things like that, you know, your basic skills. It's not just receivers. I mean, we talked, Dubber and Hunter, we talked about this last week with the offensive line. I mean, it appears that there's some lacking there in the offensive line as well. I'm not saying that it's coaching. Maybe it is. I don't know what it is, but I don't know. It just seems like there are so many fundamentals that this team gets wrong, and it causes these drives to stop time after time after time, and this offense just continue to stall, and it's just very frustrating to see.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it when it comes to like the basic fundamentals, I guess. There's so many things that could cause you to not, like, one, it could be lack of focus. You're just not prepared mentally for that game, which in that situation shouldn't be a thing for an Oklahoma night game, winning, playing for a bowl game. Which was another reason why the slow start was so frustrating, was because you have all day to prepare for this game. And I know it's kind of sitting around waiting for the game to come kind of sucks too, but that game supplies its own, you know, kind of hype for you to get ready. But then also, like, and then it kind of goes back to coaching. Even overcoaching can sometimes cause lapses in fundamentals. And I'm not saying that that's what's going on, but there are times where they hammer on it so much and so much and so much that it you almost think about it too much, and you're so worried about
paralysis
making a mistake that
analysis,
you end up
just, right?
Yeah, you end up making the mistake rather than not being focused on it at all,
right,
and just focusing on the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if you can really call that, you know, a coaching situation, because I love our offensive line coach. I think he's done a fantastic job, even given the, you know, the pieces that he's had to work around throughout the entire season. Given the injuries that we have on the line, but it's something's not right in the state of Denmark. You know, I mean, it's there's a problem here, and we need to figure this out before next season.
Agreed. Yeah, I just don't think Cumbie and Patterson have just not been clicking all year, and you know, we've talked about it before, but I'd be really surprised if Cumbie's back, win or lose, come on Friday. You know, it just seems like there's a disconnect there, and it's probably best for both parties to walk away at this point. It's been ugly.
You think if we win against West Virginia, do you think he is gone before the bowl game?
Sure. I'm not sure that it's before the bowl game, but I don't think he's going to be back next year, and okay. I don't think he'll be fired. I think it'll be a mutual split of Cumbie and Patterson, and you know, we're not going to say he's fired, but at the same time, if he were to ask to come back, I'm not sure if that would be positive.
Forced resignation.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he's going to find a job next year, no doubt.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, he'll find somewhere. But I definitely see us looking for an OC next season.
So I've got a question about that. So for me, looking at the game, like, I mean, I know Cumbie's, he's the co-coordinator, right? So
yes. him and Luper are the other.
But he's the coordinator that calls the plays, correct?
Right.
Yes.
And
yes,
he,
who you talk
well,
to.
Yeah, in the last couple of years, I guess he switched
when
he came up. But he used to sit up in the press box, and now he's down. I don't know if we saw a big change from that change. And then secondly, you know, the receivers coach. I don't know his name. I wouldn't know him.
We just switched this year. Malcolm Kelly.
He's the one that does the rap in the rap. Locker room.
We'll send you the rap, Ryan.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a famous rap.
He's like an OU legend, which is why that name was like kind of big.
So wait, we just switched the receivers coach?
Yes, last year he came in. And he came from OU maybe as a grad transfer, as a assistant there. No, I don't remember.
I know he played in the NFL.
But yeah, he played at OU, was an All-American, I'm pretty positive, and then went to the league for a couple years and then has since gotten into coaching, and we got him last season. But we have not seen much change in the catching of our receivers.
That's kind of what I wanted to point out. I mean, great players can make coaches look really great. And back to being a great receiver, you're a great coach if you can turn, kind of like Patterson, can turn average players into great players.
For sure.
And I guess maybe it takes a little longer to do, but there's some, like y'all said, I mean, there's some pretty obvious catches that a person of my level can see that, oh, that's really should have been caught. Oh, geez, definitely. Again.
There's been a lot of drop balls. Not acceptable.
There's a couple aspects to that, too. It's not just about, you know, great players make great coaches. Also, it's about, you know, whether or not the coaches can actually identify what skills these particular players are really, really excel at and make sure you put them in those positions so that they can excel.
Yes. You know, and that's what Patterson does, and that's what makes a great coach.
Right. I mean, we were talking about, you know, Rager. Rager's not the fade guy. He's not Josh Boyce out there doing those kind of catches. You know, he's more like a Liston B, but, you know, a guy who can also go across the middle, which we have not really used him in that
at all
position at all this year, and it is a bit annoying. But then again, you know, you look at, you know, some of the effort he's been given when his number's not called, and you kind of have to scratch your head on that as well. But yeah, there's, like I said, there's something that's going on. There's just something just not clicking on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know if it's just scheming, if it's overcoaching, like what Nathan said. Is it maybe just these guys don't have the skills or the leadership on the field that we've seen? I know Nathan's mentioned that in the past, that there doesn't seem to be a guy there who just really wants to kind of get everybody up and going.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. So I do have a thought on this, though. So receiver catching, yes, I'm not going to say that every ball is an easy catch, but there are far too many easy balls. It's not on the coach at that point, because if you as a player, there are very easy balls that are being dropped. I mean, stuff that should be caught. If you were a Division One, if you're a Division One receiver, you should catch.
Division One,
no
P5.
Doubt about it. Yeah. Division One P5, you should catch that ball. You know, I don't want to call individual guys, but there are certain receivers who have had multiple catches who they're getting hit right in the hands. It's not on Dugan. That's on them. And that's not on the coach. That's on them, because at the end of the day, a coach can tell you all you want, but if it's, you know, I feel like a coach should progress you from being good, because if you're coming to TCU to be a receiver, you're probably pretty good. You're a P5 receiver in an open up offense, but you know, we have too many times that there are these guys who come in and then immediately catch the drops, because I don't know why, but you know, at some point it's got to get off the coaches and be on the players, especially for the easy catches. It just can't happen. There are too many easy balls being dropped.
Maybe too many late night sorority parties.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying too many very easy balls being dropped.
Oh, those are on Thursday night. Sorry, Nathan. I've been out of TCU so long, I didn't know the schedule changed.
Yeah, and Hunter, you're right. And this is multiple years that this is we see this every single year.
Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, Jack. It's like the other thing too. How many of them go through high school where every summer they're in 7-on-7? And that's what they're doing. I mean, it's
all of them.
Yeah, exactly, all of them. And it just that's mystified me too. Where, you know, even years ago, you know, high school offenses were probably not that sophisticated. I sure know they wasn't when I was in high school, but they are today. I mean, you just watch any of these high school UIL playoffs, and you know, my gosh, these guys are, you know, they're putting up 50 and 60 points weekly. Yeah. And so they're coming to college better trained. There's no doubt.
No doubt.
Yeah, you would expect the college quarterback to be a bit more accurate than the high school quarterback in a lot of these schools that these guys are putting up these numbers.
For sure.
Yeah.
You'd like to hope.
You would like to hope, so.
I've seen Jabalius Hunt, to name one, catch for 250 yards against a bunch of studs in the third round of the playoffs. The dude caught everything over everybody. And then now he's at TCU in a simple comeback route. Like, he's getting hit in the hands, nobody around him, and not catching it. That's not on Dugan. That's not on the coach. That's on him. You know, whatever it is, you just fix it. You got to. It may not be this year, but there's something going on with the culture of the receivers not catching the ball. It's got to change.
Yeah, it does. And hopefully soon, and hopefully by Friday, because Friday, Frogs are back at Eamon Carter day after enjoying a nice turkey dinner. And all of us will probably be in a bit of a food coma walking into the stadium. But we get to play the Mountaineers for a chance to go to a bowl. And if this team can't get up for that in those situations, we got a lot bigger problems in the offseason. But let's talk a little bit about the West Virginia game coming up here on Friday. And, Jack, let me go to you. What are your expectations for this team facing against the Mountaineers? And when you're done, give me your score prediction.
Well, I've never seen one of our teams not play hard. Maybe not well down the stretch, but they always play hard. And I think West Virginia, I'm not going to say they're playing out the string, but I think they expended a lot of energy last week keeping that Oklahoma State game close. And I just think they're, you know, one of those where you're traveling over Thanksgiving weekend. I think our guys take it like 28-10.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's not easy to travel to Morgantown, and I know it's not easy to travel from Morgantown, especially on a holiday. Nathan, how about you?
Yeah, and their fan base will have probably parents there. I mean, it won't be one of those where, you know, people take their vacation weekend and come watch them because they're about to go to New Year's Six or something like that.
Right. They're Which is a shame because I love West Virginia fans.
Well, you know, I do too.
We need to repost Scott Nix's one of his. I'll probably get like sued over it, because he can push that line. But funny him interviewing those West Virginia fans. I mean, that's classic stuff right there.
Well, the best part about that, and if you've never seen one of Scott Nix's, you know, man on the street segments that we used to do, the funny thing about that, because I was the camera guy for all those, was that the West Virginia fans played along with the bit. And that was the best part, because, you know, a lot of times you get like the Texas fans or the SMU fans, and they get their nose in the air and they get all, you know, huffy and puffy. And even the Tech fan who nearly wanted to punch Scott's lights out, who happened to be a female, by the way, that was at the College World Series. That West Virginia segment was freaking hilarious because the fans just played along with it all. But yeah, it's going to be – I really wish this was a game that was a little bit earlier on in the season because those fans are fantastic to be around. But, Nathan, why don't we go to you? What do you think about this game?
Similar to the OU game, I think it's just one of those games where it provides its own reasons to get ready for it. Last game of the season, senior day, a lot of kids playing for the last time maybe, playing for a bowl game. I have hope that they'll pull this one out, but at the same time, I've hoped the same thing several times this year. But I will say I think they'll pull this one out. I think it'll be a close one again. I want to say 23-17.
No, Nathan, I can't take it. I'm sticking to
17 because it's Coach B's magic number.
23-17. Okay. All right, Ryan.
Well, I'm going to go with Oh man, you know, I'm gonna go with 34 us to 10. I think it's gonna be one of the best games on both sides of the ball for us.
Okay.
Because I think they're ticked.
It's a blackout too.
It is a blackout. And I think they're ticked off from Baylor and OU. I hope they should be.
They should be.
So. Yeah, well, hopefully. We'll see how it goes. But all right. Hunter?
I'm picking the Frogs 31-21. I think it'll be a little closer than everyone thinks, maybe. They've had a quarterback change the last 3 weeks. They brought in a backup against Tech, and then he started the last two games, which they lost to Oklahoma State by 7, and they beat Kansas State. So I think it's going to be a closer game than we all think. We're going to have to come out. It's going to be a dogfight, but we can still win this game 31-21. Let's go, Frogs. Dugan, kill everybody.
Hopefully we don't get a monsoon again.
Yeah, and that is in the weather.
Yeah,
I was going to bring that up.
But if it is, I feel better about that.
And it's not going to be cold, so that's good.
No, yeah, it's going to be like in the 70s.
If it's raining, I feel better about the game, honestly. Huh. Just they've been a passing team more than a running team, for sure.
Yeah, we've said that in the past, though. And
yeah, you know, I may be bitten by this, but, you know.
I hope you're not. I hope you're right, because I would like to see – that and if the thunderstorms weren't in the forecast, I probably would agree with you, because I was thinking somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, maybe even getting up to 38 points on offense, to maybe 17-21, something like that for the Mountaineers. But with the thunderstorms that are in the forecast, and the fact that we may be trying to play ahead of any sort of possible lightning delays, which I hope we don't have on Friday.
Oh, I hope so.
I hope not. I think this is going to be one of those kind of wet, messy, kind of grind out kind of games, and I'm thinking it's going to be probably a little bit closer to, I'm going to say 24-17.
It's okay, Sean. We'll sneak a flask into the press box.
Yeah. Hopefully Mark Cohen is not listening to this. So. Maybe I'll edit that out.
I think they listen to these.
No.
He probably does. He'll probably come and frisk me when I get into the press box. Thanks, Nathan.
I'll just point at you. Here was him.
But I'll say this too. So they haven't even had 800 yards rushing the whole season. They're very one dimensional, and I feel like that works out for us. So yeah, like they're literally at 790 yards rushing this season. So, and in contrast, us, we're at 2200, almost 2300. So, big difference there. I think we control the game.
Sweet.
I agree. I think the game matches up really well for us, and I think we definitely get that sixth win. We get a bowl game, which I think, Ryan, you said we're predicted to go to Cheez-Its again?
The Cheez-It. Yep.
Whatever.
And we talked about this a little bit off the air. I love the Cheez-It. And if you didn't go last year, the only part about it that stinks is that, well, there's two parts, but they're not that big a deal. You have to kind of leave on Christmas Day, which is actually kind of fun. And then if you go through the Frog Club and do the package, you don't get to stay in the same hotel as the players. They still stay a little bit outside of town. So when you walk into the hotel, typically you look up and you're just in awe of all the decorations and how neat they make the hotel. It's not like that for this bowl. However, it is a really good bowl game. The people who host the Fiesta Bowl are the same ones who host the Cheez-It Bowl. So they do just a really, really good job. It's fun.
And if you don't like Cheez-Its, then screw you. Let's give the Ricky Bobby, if you don't like Cheez-Its, then F you. Okay?
What's not to like?
I mean, they're awesome, and everyone else can get out. Cheez-It Bowl or bust? Let's
white
go.
Cheddar. I like the white cheddar.
Yeah, white Cheez-It Bowl, white cheddar, or bust.
What's the for West Virginia?
Sean, I feel like that's a name.
Yeah,
I know we won.
Cheez-Its or bust?
Cheez-It Bowl or bust?
Cheez-It Bowl or bust? Okay, sorry, Nathan. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I was thinking, because I know we won there in 2014. Has any other road team won against West Virginia since then? West Virginia. I know that they haven't beat us here in a while, but
did they have they ever beaten us in Amon Carter?
Yeah, when Tavon, I think. No, that was there. Never mind.
I thought
Yeah, I was gonna say they haven't beat us, I don't think, at home.
I don't think so. Really? I don't think they've. I think they have never beat us at Amon Carter.
Let's just not.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought we, for a while there, we were beating them barely at home.
You know, no, we would I'm always. It's always been like lopsided to whoever's at home.
That's right.
I think
yeah.
I'm changing my prediction. We're gonna win 30-7, 31-7. We're gonna kill them tomorrow, Friday. Like they have no chance. They're gonna be like super full off turkey and gonna get killed. So I'm going back to that. West Virginia sucks. Burn my couch. I dare you.
We should bring a couch to our tailgate.
Yeah, we should. Can we couch and then burn it if we lose? Because I'm okay with that too.
I don't know. I mean, Fort Worth police usually park right across from our tailgate, but dude, you go ahead and try.
We'll light it.
The police love us. We give them water and food every game. Like if they're going to arrest us for as little as that, like burning a couch.
That's why you put the tailgate.
You know, it's just a couch.
Hey, you know what? At the SMU game, an SMU student started wailing on a middle-aged TCU guy, and I granted he did kind of egg him on, and they were fighting, and the police woman just stood there and watched him, and I was like, well, that's awfully nice that she didn't want to arrest either one of them.
Well, yeah, that's because we got them on our payroll.
Killer I know, Frost I was like,
paying them off, yeah, all of them.
She's trying to break it up.
That's where all that Killer Frog money is going. Paying
no, that was fun. It was fun to watch.
Up. Yeah, it was
you
good.
You gotta put the couch in somebody else's tailgate and then
light it. We'll like put it in the one right next to us. You know, do it to them.
In the empty spot next
bring
to
a little
us.
Toy
and they
couch.
Took off.
Yeah.
They we'll drove
like
off.
We'll bring a love seat. It's a toy couch, right?
I was thinking more like a dollhouse couch. Oh, okay. But yeah, that works too. Yeah.
Dude, Goodwill has got these things cheap. We're good.
couch, futon, who cares?
Yeah, it's all the same. I mean,
it's wood, it'll go up.
Do you think they're like really distinguishing against couch and futon in West Virginia? I don't think so. All right.
Okay, I got killer frogs in no way.
Futon's a pretty big word in West Virginia.
Burning sofas on TCU campus.
TCU and killer frogs is for couch burning.
No.
We advocate the burning of couches.
Well, it'll be a controlled environment.
Burn them all. Burn the couches if we lose. We're going to
on the
set
on the
this town on fire.
The trees. We'll be good.
Yeah, dude, we're fine. We got plenty of space. Burn this town on fire.
Just do me a favor, God. Hunter. When you go to the Goodwill, don't grab a couch that is made out of polyester.
Yeah, it'll just melt.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
no 70s couches. I think we'll be fine.
We'll spray West Virginia on it and then.
Yeah, let it burn. We've got gas for the generator. We're good.
Oh my gosh.
Ryan's really upset. She thinks we're really going to burn a couch this weekend.
I don't think we're really going to. I just think someone's going to, and then we're going to get blamed for it.
Put the broken TV in front of it and say it was.
I was influenced by the Killer Frog podcast. They told me to do it.
Yeah, dude, sorry. It's free will. You can do your own thing. Burn couches if we lose. But if we don't lose, don't burn a couch. TCU fans. Oh, I'm advocating for burning couches tonight.
Mm.
If we lose, I'm burning your couch. My parents are going to be pissed.
I'm so glad Dubber is not on the podcast tonight.
Yeah, he may have some HSOs as well, but you know, we're keeping those off tonight.
Yeah.
Well, with that under our belts, let's. I think we've come to the end of the podcast. Sound good?
Sounds great.
We'll end on Hunter advocating for arson.
Burning couches. We're in.
Oh,
that's a problem for people.
You're so going to get us in trouble with the SMB office.
No one is going to burn a couch, and if they do, I'll blame it on West Virginia. It's fine. Like, we have an out.
It's a perfect alibi. It wasn't
West
us,
Virginia's
officer.
There.
It was those mountaineers.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they did start it.
Exactly. So, like, burn the couch and then blame it on West Virginia. That's your goal as TCU fans this week.
And with that, we have definitely come to the end of the podcast.
Stay classy, fans. Stay classy.
Stay classy, TCU. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Where podcast is pretty much available anywhere. I can't even make it through the end now. Thank you. You can find the podcast pretty much anywhere out there, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com and sign up for a free account and discuss TCU athletics as well as whether or not you are for or against the burning of couches.
Burn them.
And, of course, TCU is on. Golly, you screwed me up. I can't even finish this. Dealt with it. It's the end of the podcast. Everybody get the frogs up.
Stay classy, TCU.
Go frogs.
Go frogs. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.